Church, and I know we have a large amount of children that will be coming through the doors here beginning tomorrow evening, and I know that there's going to be a need for some assistance after worship today to prepare the sanctuary. You can see some of the sanctuary is already prepared, but there will be other things that need to be done. So if you can stay behind for a few minutes, that would be wonderful. Although, Janelle, I don't know if you had any other announcements or thoughts that, or anything that congregation needs to know.
Just what you said, if whoever can stay afterwards and help us just get everything off the front up there so that we can get all of our decorations we have in the back here up there. We were lucky enough to get all these decorations from another church in Wexford, so everything that's in the back right now we got from another church, so
and they look really great. They really do. If you came inside and saw the mountains or so forth in the back. And are we taking the Bibles and hymnals out of the...
Yes.
So there's some light work that can be done. There's some heavier work for the muscle arm men in the back. I'm looking at you, Bob Reckenwald. And so anyone that can stay behind for a few minutes after church, we would really appreciate preparing the sanctuary for our... one of our great mission outreaches that this church does. There's nothing else on BBS. Just point out some other things that are going on in the church. There will be Coffee Connection next Sunday, which is BBS Sunday here at the church. And then on August 4th, there will be both Ladies Night Out, which will be at North Park Lounge at 6 o'clock. If you need any information or you need a ride, contact Tiffany or contact Katie Greggs. And the men are invited to go over to the Greggs house to well, trash the place or whatever it is we're going to do over there. And so, Dan Greg, if you're watching, be prepared. We will be over there at approximately the same time. I believe there are sign-up sheets for both of these in the narthex. So as you're leaving today, if you decided that you indeed can join either the ladies' night out or the men's night out, please sign up. On August 21st, we will be coordinating efforts with two other churches for what we traditionally call our worship in the park, but this time it will be worship under the pavilion over at Crestview Church in Calgary this year. If you recall, last year we were at Old Union. This year we will be at Crestview. And we are being asked to bring sides and desserts. The bulletin says main dishes, but Crestview will be providing that. We are asked to bring sides and desserts. There is, as you would imagine, a sign-up sheet in the back if you can bring something of that nature to the worship service on August 21st. If you have any questions, such as directions to Crestview, please let us know. Finally, I wanted to mention that we are going to be holding a new members class again here sometime in August. We have someone who wants to join the church. We're inviting others who are potentially longtime attenders and maybe first-time members to consider joining as well if the Lord is leading you to join our congregation. You can contact the office to provide your name or ask any additional questions or see someone from session or myself after church. I believe that is everything that I had. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Michael as he had a few announcements as well.
Just a few announcements, particularly about Vacation Bible School. I would encourage you, they're still needing volunteers. Particularly if you're a man, come out, because the kids will see you, and it will make a difference in their lives. And also next Sunday, I was told that it's a traditional Sunday where a lot of people don't come because they go over Vacation Bible School. Make it a point to come next week, because the kids who are here will see you thinking that worship is important enough to show up and to honor them, listen to them as they teach you, and it will be an exciting time. I encourage you to do that. As I often try to do, I have copies of my sermon today in the back, five copies, and you're welcome to take one of them if you wish. If we run out, I can make more. I doubt that will happen, but you never know. And that's all I have to say right now.
For those of us that were here for Bible study this morning, it was a very interesting Bible study on the genealogy of Jesus from Matthew chapter 1. So if you would like to join us in the future, we usually meet around 8:30 here in the summer in Fellowship Hall. Are there any other announcements from the congregation before we begin our worship this morning? All right. Not seeing any, please rise and join us in the choral call to worship, which is found in your board. God of creation and redemption calls us together.
come into the presence of the one who created us.
God is not finished with us. God is healing our sin and brokenness. By God's grace, there is more that we can be than we are today.
We offer ourselves to the one who gave himself for our redemption.
God is doing new things in us, things that lead to life and health.
We give up our old ways to walk in the new path of God.
Our Lord Jesus leads us into the glorious future of God's reign.
Through worship, we follow Jesus Christ, our Creator and Redeemer, to do his work in the world before us.
Our intro hymn is number 417 in the blue hymnal, Christ is Made a Sure Foundation. Faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from the effects of our sin. This means that when we're left feeling dirty and ashamed about something that we've done, or something that has been done to us, when we speak it out loud to others and to God, that God is faithful to purify us and help us feel washed clean, so that our feelings might match the reality of what God has done. That is all because Jesus is the perfect and loving sacrifice for us all. So let us confess our sins to God and each other through the prayer of confession in your bulletin, so that we might be washed clean and know. You have called us, O God,
to follow your one and only Son, Jesus. We want to follow, but on our own terms. His example of being servant to all is not something that we are excited about doing. We find it hard to serve even those we love. We are more likely to seek revenge on those who hurt us, rather than to serve and care for them. We want the greatness that the world promises, wealth, popularity, material goods, and position. We are less ready to look for greatness in serving others when service is needed. Forgive us, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, fill us with the love of Jesus, that we may truly follow in his footsteps and serve all we encounter.
Amen. Amen. The witness of the New Testament is that Jesus never sinned. Jesus himself said that he always does what pleases his Father. Not one of us can legitimately make that claim. We'd be lost without hope if it was by our own righteousness that we had to be saved, but it's not. Jesus, who never sinned, paid the price of our sin by dying in our place so that we might live. That's the good news of the gospel. Hear it, believe it, and rejoice in it. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. You now to share the peace of God that God has given to you. Share that good news by saying, may the peace of God be with you, and may it be with you all. May the peace of God be with you.
Gospel, beginning at the 21st verse. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, it is on page 891. Now, when all the people were baptized, And when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, as a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age. This ends our first reading.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds and wills to hear the truth of your word and to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is one with you and who prayed that we might share in that same oneness. Amen. The second scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John. John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. And you'll find that on page 937 of your pew Bibles. I'll be reading from the NIV version, and I'd encourage you to read along from the pew Bibles. It's always good to hear God's word in stereo and to understand it better. This is on the night that Jesus was betrayed, and he served his disciples, washing their feet, something that no freeborn person was expected to do. No servant you paid would do that, only a slave. And here Jesus, their Lord and Master, washes their feet. When he had finished washing their feet, he put his clothes back on and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Reverend Glenn Kinect was my pastor when I was in college. He was about 45 years old then, and I remember thinking that he was quite an old man. Viewpoints change. But the example of Glenn Kinect has touched me and trained me to this very day. Two things, they might seem to be little things, but they have had a large implications in my life. First, I saw that whenever he talked with a child, he treated them with respect and listened to what they had to say. That impressed me because, frankly, people don't always respect and listen to children. That example can easily be expanded to include every person. Now, I don't always listen and respect people. Sometimes I'm distracted, sometimes I forget, and sometimes I'm just being a jerk. And that makes a tremendous negative difference in the relationship. But when I do remember to respect and listen to anyone, that makes a positive difference. The second example is one I saw while I was with him when he was putting gas in his car, or rather his 8-year-old daughter stood beside him and put gas in the car under his direction. She put $5 worth of gas in the tank. He told her to stop pumping when the gauge read $4.95. He told his daughter that he would rather give an extra 5 cents to the station than risk going over and taking more gas than he was paying for. This was when gas was less than 60 cents a gallon, and before credit cards charged the exact amount you pumped. He then gave his daughter the $5 and asked her to take it to the cashier and not ask for any change. Now that seems to be a little example, but I've seen implications in it far beyond pumping gas. I've learned to try to go out of my way to give more than I'm required, to help someone a bit more than I need, and to honor others by giving them responsibility. I don't always follow that example, but his example is always there, illuminating my path and a light to pass on to others. We learn best by example. Benjamin Franklin once wrote, "Tell me and I forget." That's why I forget your names a lot. "Teach me and I remember. Involve me and I learn." A question: what can you do to change listening to this sermon to being involved in it, to learn? We learn best with a learning that changes our lives if we not only have a good example, but also follow it. That's why Jesus said to so many people, "Follow me." He wants us to learn how to live. On the night that he was betrayed, in John chapter 13, we read that Jesus took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. Later, he said, "Do you understand what I have just done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example so that you should do as I have done for you." Jesus wants us to live, not just exist. So he wants to involve us in his life, in following him. To his disciples, that foot washing would have been perfectly clear, whether they liked it or not, that Jesus' example was not just about washing feet, but about living life. A disciple was to learn from the master, to walk through life like the master, to talk like the master, to become like the master. And that's what Jesus wanted for them and for us. He wants us to live the principles that guided his life because they are the ways to truly live. Have you committed yourself to following Jesus where he leads? One of the defining principles of Jesus' life was the importance of prayer. Throughout his ministry, we see Jesus praying at the very beginning of his ministry as he was baptized, and praying even beyond his resurrection, giving thanks to God in prayer as he broke bread and gave it to the two disciples of Emmaus. Scripture teaches in Hebrews chapter 7 and 1 John chapter 2 that Jesus is praying for us at this very moment. Jesus was always a busy man, but he was never too busy to pray. His prayer is an example for us that we should pray as he did. So when did Jesus pray? Can you think of any time that Jesus did pray? Well, I've already said he prayed at his baptism. We read in Luke chapter 3, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Why do you think Jesus was praying then? I think it was preparation for the testing that was coming to him out in the wilderness, but it was also preparation for the cross. Praying as we take up our crosses and follow him is a very good thing. In fact, a necessary thing. Jesus often suffered from the plague of being too popular, not so much for who he was, but for what people thought he could do for them. One time he said, "You're following me, you're coming here not because you saw the signs I've done, but because you ate the bread I gave you." And once some more, being well known and powerful brings a need for prayer too. Mark records, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." In other words, "Why are you out here? Get back here." Luke writes that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, often. Before he fed the 5,000, he thanked God for the food he was about to serve, and afterwards he went aside to pray because the people wanted to make him their king by force. When everyone around us thinks we're great, that is a time for prayer, because without prayer, pride comes before a fall. Jesus spent a night in prayer for guidance, just before he chose the 12 apostles who were to go out and change the world. Luke chapter 6 records, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he named as apostles. In the months ahead, you are going to be slogging through the hard work of preparing for the future ministry of this church. Now is the time to pray for those who are leading you through this time of preparation, and for those who God knows will do so in the future. Jesus also praised God in prayer. In Luke chapter 10, we read, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children," meaning his disciples. Do you want to do something wonderful? Walk around your home. Look at the people you love, the mementos you have, the pictures. Think of all the blessings you have and have received, and give praise to God, from whom all of those blessings come. If you do that, you'll likely be laughing and smiling and crying and standing in awe of God by the time you're through. All of us have more blessings than we can count, if we choose to count them. Jesus prayed with his disciples so often that they asked him to teach them how to pray. He taught them, and now we have the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever asked Jesus to show you how to pray? I've always had a hard time with prayer. Once I get started, I seem to go on, but it's hard to start. So what I've decided to do and made it my practice is to start my prayers by praying the Lord's Prayer. With a good start like that, it's easy to go on to a good finish. And I've found that the more I practice, the more I really appreciate prayer, and the more I pray. Jesus gave thanks to God in his prayer before he raised Lazarus from the dead. Have you ever thanked God for raising you from the death that sin has brought to you? Have you prayed in trust for others that he might raise them up as well? Jesus prayed for the unity of his disciples in John chapter 17. And he prayed for us too. John records, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." And later he prayed, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you." He prayed for you and for me, and he still does. Do you think that the church would be more united today, that we would be more accepting, more at peace with each other, with those close and those far away, if we made our unity in the midst of our differences an important part of our prayers? Let's try it out and see. He prayed for Simon Peter. He said, "I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers and sisters." Have you ever prayed for someone that they might come back to God, might recognize again what God has done for them? Maybe God will answer your prayer as he answered Jesus' prayer for Simon Peter. So pray. Jesus encouraged his disciples to pray for themselves as he prayed out his cry of pain in the Garden of Gethsemane just before the soldiers arrested him. Luke records, on reaching that place, he said to his disciples, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond that, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Now, we've often prayed that God would get us out of a mess, but maybe we can learn from Jesus how to keep from getting into a mess in the first place, and how to pray in the midst of our messes, "Your will be done." Jesus didn't just pray for people who liked him. He prayed for his executioners as he hung on the cross, "Father, forgive them." Have you ever prayed that God would forgive someone who's hurt you? Jesus gave us a good example to follow when he prayed for those people who were killing him. But then on the cross, he prayed a prayer that you and I will never need to pray, because he prayed it for us. When we trust in him, we will never be forsaken by God, because Jesus put himself in that situation when he cried out to God on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Somehow, he was willingly forsaken by God so we could be accepted by God. Let that love sink into you. And even more, after that, at his death, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Someday we will die unless the Lord returns first. And when we face that time, when Jesus comes to take us home with him, may his prayer be our prayer. Jesus is our Lord and Master. He has given us an example to learn from, his example of a life dedicated to God in prayer, prayer in all kinds of times and in all kinds of places. Jesus wants to involve us in a life of prayer, so that we will learn to be like him, learn to live in such a way that our church might prosper and people see the power of Jesus praying and loving through us. He gives us his good example, and that's worth a lot. Pray. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, I trust that God uses me to speak his word to you and to me. Not because I'm such a great person, but because God's Spirit is at work in us. It's not me. Don't do something just because I tell you. Check it out in the checkbook. You know, check it out. Say, is that what God really wants for us? And if it is, do it. If it isn't, let me know, because I can learn too. In your bulletins, you'll find the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. Please rise if comfortably able, so that we might recite our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Children, and we reach up to you in trust, knowing that you are our God who loves us. And so we freely give to you, knowing that these gifts build up a faith in us and that you choose to use them for your glory. Help us to trust you more and more and use these gifts so that we might be a light for you in our community and in our world. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn number 398 in your red hymnal, Sweet Hour of Prayer. You know, it's usually a sweet minute of prayer, or maybe 30 seconds or something, but it really is amazing when you take time to pray with other believers and you spend an hour in prayer. I haven't done that very often, but whenever I've done that, God has been a true blessing to me. And the word hour here means a time, sweet time of prayer. Let's sing to the Lord.
Oh,
seated. Now we have a time to share and encourage each other with how we've seen God at work in our lives this week. And I'd also encourage you, if you have any comments about the sermon, to make them and possibly encourage us or challenge us with them as well. You're on. Yes.
So this week I sent out an email to all the BBS parents, you know, reminding them, giving them the information and everything. And I got a couple emails back, you know, some kids couldn't come, some of them were going to miss a day or two. And I got an email from a mom who said her kids were going to have to miss Monday and Wednesday. And she talked to them and said, let's just not go this year. We have to be out 2 days. Let's not go. And they quickly said to her, no, mom, we've gone to BBS for years. And we have to go, even if it's just 3 days, we always go. It's just like a God at work moment that, you know, these kids don't even, I don't think, have any connection to this church or even to CNS, and still they're like, no, we have to go even if it's not every day.
Thanks be to God. You know, maybe God is using us to make a difference in their lives. Yes, Bert.
Most of you aren't sitting in the front. We are. And I look at these five smiling animals for Bible school, and they got the biggest smiles on their faces that I can't even imitate a smile that big. Nobody's told me a joke that funny in a long time. Man, they're so happy. They're so happy. So it's just like, I hope the kids are as happy as these little creatures here, because I just heard a story about coyotes in the neighborhood and they're probably terrorizing it. But that coyote right there, if that's what it is, it's happy. It's not going to eat anybody. it's just happy, you know. Don't worry, be happy.
When I looked at them, I thought, even they are opening their mouths to praise God.
Yes. You know, they're happy because God is using them to tell other people about Jesus. So, yes?
Yeah, looking back at all the VBSs, I think every Bible school has been a monumental Bible school. You know, they come and they go, they remain that monumental effect in a child's life.
Yeah, thanks for reminding us of that. Yes.
Just similar to Janelle's story, if those of you that don't know, Leah likes soccer. And she's signed up for a camp for the next month or so, but it starts this week and it's Monday and Wednesday. And I said, do you want to go to soccer those two nights or Bible for BBS? And she said, well, BBS. So, yes, it matters.
Good. That was Leah. All right, Leah. Yes, Marianne.
I just have a grateful prayer for supportive friends who are there for me when I need them.
Okay, Marianne, I'm forgetting that that we're on Zoom. So sorry, folks who are on Zoom. You might not. We've been talking about VBS and the changes that people make. VBS is made in people's lives. And Marianne just mentioned that she's thankful for people who have touched her lives and helped her. Yes?
And I'm also thankful for the same people who guided me here, and I have prayed for a long time to find a church where I can feel comfortable and that I can volunteer. And I'm so excited to be volunteer for
BBS. Okay. So. Thank you. She also says she's thankful not only for the help, but for the guidance that's brought her here and how she can volunteer for VBS and make a difference that way in blessing her own life, and blessing the lives of others. I added that part. Yeah. Yes.
Another story I remember from VBS was about a centurion who came to Jesus and asked him to heal a member of his family, I think it was. And anyway, Jesus said, you know, he said, just say the word and you'll be healed. You know, you don't have to. Just say the word. He said, I'm a man under authority and I give an order and it's followed. So he trusted. He said to Jesus, just say the word and it'll be done. And I asked the class, how do you think Jesus felt about that? And this one little boy stood up and he said, I think he was stunned. And he was just like, and I was stunned, you know. And he had never met, he had never come across someone with that kind of faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's carried me over these few years with that picture of Jesus being stunned at our faith. So it was remarkable, I thought.
Thank you, Jim. Jim was telling about teaching about the centurion who came to Jesus because his servant or son, they were the same words, was sick. And he asked Jesus to heal. And Jesus said, okay, I'll come. And the guy says, no, you know, you don't need to come, Jesus. I know that your word is good enough. Just say the word and it'll happen. And Jesus said, I've never found faith like that in all of Israel. And one of the kids said that Jesus was stunned to find somebody like that. And that's, oh, for faith like that, we can know that Jesus' word is good enough for us. Anyone else? Yes, Susan?
I'd like to mention and ask a prayer for Annie Lou, our little 17-month-old granddaughter. Was born with an extra toe and an extra baby toe on her left foot, and tomorrow she's having surgery to have that toe removed. So naturally we're concerned for her and ask God to bless her.
Susan was asking for our granddaughter, prayers for our granddaughter Annie Lou, who has a sixth toe, another extra baby toe, and she's having that removed tomorrow for her surgery. Pray for her, pray for her parents, and pray for her grandparents too. Yeah. And yes, Marianne.
So now I had hearing impairment, and I didn't hear the first part of how this all works with the prayers. Am I understanding we come off of prayers now besides?
Yep, we moved into the part where from sharing our stories to our, you know, our joys and concerns so that we can pray.
I found out my daughter who's 7.5 months pregnant, found out she's severely anemic and possibly has gestational diabetes. And my son in Texas, his family, I think they have COVID. They don't live with vaccines. So I just need prayers.
Okay. Marianne's daughter is 7.5 months pregnant, and she's severely anemic, and she might be having gestational diabetes. And so pray for her, and her son in Texas has COVID, probably has COVID. And so we can pray for them. Yes.
A joy. Our daughter Lisa, who's out in Indiana, and her three children, oldest is 16, down to 10. Anyhow, she was home for the first time in 3 years. Good to see them between their activities and COVID and all. Anyhow, she was here a week. We did the 4th of July in Zilly, went to Erie and spent time with Bob's family with dinner, and then went to the Maid of Mist, who got soaked. Great week.
Yeah. I can't remember your name.
That's okay. It's Sue. I know.
Right, there's a lot of Susans, a lot of graceful people around here. That's what Susan means. And Bob, Susan tells about her daughter Lisa and her three children were home here for 1 week for the first time in 3 years, and they were able to do a number of things, including going on the Maid of the Mist up in Niagara Falls. Before we moved there, we read a brochure that said, take a boat to the brink of the falls. And I said, the brink? No, I'm not going to do that. And then we found out what they meant. But then we've gone on that. It was excellent. Other prayer requests? Yes.
Amy.
Yep.
I got a nice text from Sweet Jean, who's back there, and she wanted to let me know that her uncle died. This was Friday, so I guess her uncle died like Wednesday, and she's going to go to Tampa and then back to South Carolina Thursday until Sunday. So she says, I'm missing a lot of church. And she just wanted everyone to know that, yes, she's okay. And Janelle, she's going to bring a pizza on Monday night. She wanted you to know.
Okay.
So she's doing well.
So,
first for Jeannie,
we'll
go through what?
Jeannie, oh, okay. Yeah, Jeannie asked us to, well, we can pray for her. Her uncle died, and she'll be away for a while. Yes, Marianne?
And she is a close friend of mine. I met here a couple months ago. I'm grateful for her, but she also tends to be. She's in Tampa, but she wants us to pray for Parker, who wants nothing to do with Christians or God. Dale, who is depressed, but also needs the Holy Spirit. Parker is her cousin's son. Dale is a child of
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Marianne tells us of a close friend of hers who tells us...
Jeannie.
Okay. Jeannie, who comes to church here, to pray for Parker, who doesn't want anything to do with God, and Dale, a nephew, something like that. Yes?
I need prayers for my grandson, Levin, and his wife, Nikki. They were to adopt a little boy with a lot of changes in mind.
Nora, right?
Levin and Nikki, that's not Nora, yeah.
Okay. So, Logan and Nikki.
Logan's my grandson and his wife, Nikki.
Okay, Logan's Nora's grandson and his wife, Nikki, were going to be adopting a child, and the mother of the child changed her mind. So there's grief all around there. Yes, Bert.
Speaking about prayer, Holy Spirit, I pray that as we go through this week, we deal with people in our workplaces. And if we have the opportunity to mention God's name and plant even a small seed in an unbeliever's life, that God gives us the strength and the wisdom not to say something that we regret saying, or at least we can give them the wisdom to say the right thing, which is difficult for me, but I still try, but it's difficult because I'm tongue-tied. I don't want to be tongue-tied.
Yep. Well, Bert asks us to pray for ourselves that this week we would have opportunities and take opportunities to witness for Jesus with the people we come into contact with, and that we do it wisely. You know, the Spirit at work in people's life can take the, put the wisdom of God into their hearts. He just tells us to be faithful and to do it. And that's good. So, yes, Janelle.
Just prayers for VBS that it goes smoothly, and the kids have a great time.
Great.
So the volunteers.
And did I see somebody up?
Yeah.
Frank?
I put in prayers for Tiffany, who's having two surgeries in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Frank asked to pray for Tiffany because she's having two surgeries in the next 2 weeks. Can I say what kind they are? Okay, she's having two cataract surgeries. And I've had cataract surgery and they went really well, and I see better than I ever did before since following those surgeries. Okay, well, let's come to the, yes, Bob.
Fred Suman in Nepal with Masiko. His mother's having gallbladder surgery, and it's the first surgery in their family, so they're a little concerned. And for us, it's no big deal here. It's kind of a routine outpatient thing, but over in Nepal, it's not routine.
Okay. One of the, Bob asks us to pray for Masiko, who is having gallbladder surgery.
Suman.
Where did Masiko come from?
He's with the Masiko Choir.
Oh, okay. Suman. I'm still learning all these things. You folks, you're doing too many mission projects. You know, it's, no, that's not true. Suman is having gallbladder surgery in Nepal, which is different than what it happens here. It's the first surgery in his family. Okay, there are many prayer requests. I would encourage you to, if the Lord lays one of those on your heart, to pray for it. I'll begin with prayer, and then we'll have a time where you can pray, either silently or out loud, and then we'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer together. Lord, thank you that you are God who hears our prayers. You are so great that you can pay attention to all of us, not just all of us here, but every person in the entire world. Help us all to cry out to you so that we might be saved. Help us, Lord, as your people, to trust you and to bring our concerns to you, the things that are near and dear to our hearts. I pray especially for Annie Lou. She's a little girl, and she's going to have surgery to remove an extra toe. Now, I pray that you would be with her and her parents and the doctors and her grandparents, and that you would bring her safely through that. And for Tiffany, too, as she has her surgery tomorrow. I thank you, Lord, that you have given her clear sight of you. And I pray that you would use this surgery to give her clear physical sight as well. Hear our prayers, Lord, as we come to you now as your people. Lord, we thank you for Vacation Bible School that's coming up, because we have every confidence that you are going to use it to bless people for eternity, and use us, Lord, in it. We pray for our families, for faith and comfort in times of joy and in times of loss. We pray that we might be bold in our witness and sensitive to your leading. We pray for Christians around the world. Lord, help us to be one with you and with each other. Let our differences not divide us, but provide opportunities for us to learn and grow. Lord, we pray that your truth would spread, and that you would be glorified through your people, that we would learn from you and live in this world, not letting the world conform us, so that we might work to bring your kingdom come. We ask this prayer and all of our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our sending hymn is hymn number 403 in your blue hymn book, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Charge to you is to pray. Begin with prayers of thanksgiving and then see where those prayers lead you onward. And now, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.